Welcome back. This week on the podcast, I talk with Camila Franco. Camila is the owner and founder at Yuki Bowls in Greenville, South Carolina. And it was a joy to have her on. And really, I can't wait for her restaurant to open. Acai Bowls, coffee shop, some other menu items. But in our conversation, we dive into her story. And she has been thinking about opening a restaurant like this for years now. And through some adversity and getting fired from her job, she took some courses and started to put together a business plan. And really, this is her passion project, and she is now making it come to light. And they are set to open later this spring. It's going to be incredible, and I can't wait for them to open because acai bowls are one of my favorite things. We love coffee, so it's going to be a new spot for me and my wife to go to on our little Saturday morning coffee runs before we work out. So I can't wait for her to open. It's a lot of fun to talk to her and hear her story. Her roots are from Colombia, so there'll be Colombian coffee. Acai is from Brazil, so it'll be authentic acai. And she has a bunch of different bases. And I hope you enjoy the conversation because I surely did. Her link is in the show notes. You can follow along with their story and when they're opening and all the updates at the link in the show notes. Before we get into the episode, we got to talk about my sponsors. For a long time now, over a year, Rebel Rabbit has been a sponsor of the podcast. And the synergy for what I promote and what I believe in is just perfect with Rebel Rabbit. Rebel Rabbit is an alcohol-free seltzer. Their seltzers are infused with cannabis, and they have two different levels. They have a mild hair, and they have a wild hair. So it doesn't matter if you've been a regular user of cannabis or you've never used cannabis before, they have an option for you. It's a great alternative to alcohol for far too long. I think we've all thought, or at least I know in my social circles, if you're socializing, if you're drinking, if you're relaxing, if you're getting home from work, you're going to have an alcoholic drink and you're going to relax a little bit. And for far too long, that has been the narrative. And Rebel Rabbit, excuse me, is on a mission to change that. If you go to the link in the show notes, it'll give you 20% off your Rebel Rabbit order. They can ship directly to your door. They're also racking up the retailers all over the country, so you can find the retailer closest to you or just order directly from their website and get 20% off your order. Use promo code LIFE20. Their website is drinkrebelrabbit.com. That is also in the show notes. Another sponsor of this show is Spinx. Spinx is, for me, growing up, I thought it was just a great convenience store, well-lit, great food, easy access. And what I didn't know is how much Spinx gives back to the communities that they are in. They give back millions and millions of dollars every year to incredible organizations like the March of Dimes and many others. So all I ask for you is visit the link in the show notes, find the Spinx closest to you. They have a lot of cool features as well that you can use, like the app and their card and all that good stuff. But just support your local Spinx. If you see them on your street corner, stop in and support them because I can guarantee you they're supporting their communities they're in. They've been around in the upstate for over 50 years and they are continuing to grow all over the Southeast. Last but not least is Pelham Medical Center. Pelham Medical Center, in my opinion, is one of the top hospitals and medical facilities in the country. And they're about 10 minutes from downtown Greenville. They have incredible facilities. They have state-of-the-art cancer facilities. They have orthopedic procedures, specializations that are only, they're the only one in South Carolina, North Carolina to have that specialization. And they're really incredible. They have so many different offerings. They have great customer satisfaction. They have some of the top doctors and surgeons in the country. So whatever you need, their link is in the show notes. Check them out. Look them up. Whatever you might be needing. And wherever you live, I mean, they could be an option for you. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Camila from Yuki Bowls.
Camila, good morning. Happy Monday. Thank you for joining me. First off, how you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful last few days. I was telling you that my wife sent me your info. I was telling you about how we love going down to Colombia. We love Colombian food. And we're going to get to more of this, but you're opening a new concept restaurant in Greenville. But I want to get to know you a little bit more. You were born in Colombia?
I was, yes. Born in Medellin.
What was life like for you growing up?
Ooh, Different, definitely really different. I'm very proud to be Colombian. I love being Colombian. I really don't see myself being another ethnicity. But I would say growing up, I saw many different things. A different culture, a little bit of violence. I moved here when I was 7. So I do vividly remember seeing someone like getting shot outside of our house. This was after the whole violence with Pablo and all that stuff. So it was kind of settling down. But, you know, we moved here, started a whole new life. But Colombia was, it was great. It was family. It was
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, great food. You know, people are happy in Colombia. I feel like that's really what makes Colombia stand out. I feel like people are happy with the little that they have. And that's pretty much what I remember when I lived there. But I would go every summer. So, you know, summer vacation, my parents had me here for 3 months. They would send me to camp, but it was, you know, 3 month long vacation. So they always sent me to my grandma's, and I was always in Colombia for 3 months.
During the summer,
every year. And so I was about 18, because then it was, you know, growing up and boys, and, you know, sure. My parents wanted to keep me being good.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. So, and party. And
yeah, totally.
So until I was about 18, they sent me there every summer. It was fun. I
mean, your grandma take care of you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. I had my quinceañera there.
Nice. And then,
but I feel like that's why I'm very Colombian. I feel like I haven't lost my culture. My accent in Spanish is very Colombian. I do try to go often. When I was in college, I didn't go for a couple of years, but pretty much it. I mean, I try to go to Colombia at least once a year.
With, you said y'all moved here. So you, your mom, your dad, did you have siblings?
No, just me, only child.
Nice. I actually, you mentioned Pablo. Wasn't Medellin one of his like main locations?
I think, yeah, and I don't know much of his story because I wasn't born. I think he was in 94.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you know
some. I don't know much, but
yeah. Well, Netflix could have the story, but he was from Medellin. Yeah, he was from Medellin, and I think he got killed in 94.
Okay.
And I'm from 97, so I didn't live. My parents definitely lived throughout the whole thing, which, you know, it's never really talked about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the past is the past. But he definitely left some people behind.
Yeah.
And some people that were already in that, I would say, industry kind of thing.
Culture.
Yeah, that culture. Yeah. But, you know, it happens. I feel like there's violence everywhere.
Yep.
So I do remember seeing violence twice in my life.
Got
that
it.
Was in Colombia, yeah. Once before I moved here. And then the other one was when my grandfather died, and he passed in 2019. And
yep.
We flew there. And the day we flew there, there was some, you know, conflict between two different gangs, I guess. And there was a little shooting 2 blocks away, which we could hear, and we know we're going
to.
But that's pretty much what I remember, you know. And when I think of Colombia, I don't really remember. That doesn't come to my head. It's
yeah.
like the fun and the history and the culture and the
yeah.
love and the family.
One of my best friends, his parents just moved back to Colombia. And I mean, he sends us pictures all the time. It's like the hillsides. They have their own house there now. But he always tells me his stories. He would go back during college. He played college in the U.S., soccer. But he would go back to Colombia, and he would like get picked up in these games. Like these, you know, inner city soccer games.
Yeah.
And it'd be like the most intense, like, experience of his life. When you and your parents moved here, what was that like? Do you remember, like, what were the reasoning your parents wanted to move and come to the U.S.?
I feel like when I look back in my childhood, there's not a lot that I remember, but I vividly, like, remember moving here because it was tough. We moved to Atlanta first, because that's where my family was, and that's where my family still is. So we stayed in Atlanta for about a year. I stayed in Atlanta. My dad moved to Greenville. So I was in Atlanta, and then my dad was in Greenville. And my mom was actually still in Colombia for a couple months. So it was, you know, I was 7 years old. I stayed with some uncles in Atlanta. And then my dad was trying to see what Greenville was like. But he would drive every weekend to come see me and stuff like that. But I remember when we first moved, it was tough, you know,
yeah.
Crying every single night because I didn't know where my parents were. I feel like as a 7-year-old, you don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now
you're just somewhere new. You don't really know.
Yeah. And my uncles, I had never really met them because they had been here. They had never met me because when they moved to the States, I wasn't even born.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know where I am. Like, I knew they were family, but so this was in September of 2004. And throughout Christmas, you know, I was crying and my letter to Santa was like, can my mom show up at midnight
kind of
thing? So it was my aunt was crying. But I didn't really know what was happening. You know, I knew we took a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I cried on the plane because it was just me and my dad. But in January, like the end of January, they were like, okay, we got to send her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they sent me back to my mom and I was fortunate enough to be able to fly back and forth.
Got it. Did your mom end up coming?
Yes, she did. So her residency took a couple more months.
Oh, right.
So it was through my dad's cousin who lived in the Hamptons. She's still there. But we got residency through her. So a couple of years back, it was a little bit easier, you know. But so my mom ended up coming in July. So I flew with her. So it was.
You had a few more months.
Yeah.
And your mama.
So I, you know, as a 7-year-old and a girl, where's my mom?
Of course. I'd be the same way, bro.
Yeah. You know, my mom just flew, just got back from Colombia. She was gone she went for a week for Easter.
Oh, man.
Like, where's my mom? And I'm 27 and I talk to my mom every single day. She lives here in Greenville. But so, yeah, I feel like it was definitely a change.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
I feel like my parents really sacrificed. You know, they both had really great jobs in Colombia. My dad was in sales. My mom was at a bank. She did accounting and all that stuff. And when we got here, obviously, they had to start over.
Yeah.
And my dad was in construction and trying to figure it out. And my mom was in cleaning, still in cleaning. But she has her company now and she's really well off. But for me to see those sacrifices and for me to now be opening the business, it's like it really does pay off. And
yeah.
The sacrifices, you know, you have to make.
Yeah. Did they speak much English before moving?
Oh, not at all. No, before moving. No. Not even me. I remember, so I went to, when I was in Atlanta, I was in second grade, and I would get on the wrong bus, on the wrong bus home, and my uncle was waiting, where's Camila? You know, I would go to Kids Are Kids. I remember that, the daycare. But it would only be a couple times a week, but I would get the days messed up because I didn't understand at all. So it was interesting. I don't really remember vividly in my, but now the stories that my uncle tell me and all that stuff. So it's like, oh, wow. Like
his memories come back a little bit for sure.
So I didn't know any English. And then when we moved to Greenville, I went to Malden Elementary, Malden Middle, Malden High.
Yeah.
I graduated from Malden High. And it was, you know, third and fourth grade. It was me not wanting to go to school.
Yeah.
And then we were zoned. We moved and I was zoned for Bell's Crossing. So I had to change schools. And that was really tough.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I did not want to show up to class at all. There were a couple days that I missed and, you know, the police actually showed up at our house.
Dang.
Because they were like,
where is she?
Sending your kid to school kind of thing. Because it was red flags thinking there was something going on at home. But they then allowed me to go to any school. So I went back to Malden.
Nice.
Yeah.
With you growing up, was it like the transition to like finding friends and friend groups? Is that like something you found in Greenville being difficult or easy? Like what is your experience from that?
Yeah, I would say challenging. I would say very challenging. Growing up, I was very reserved. I think I still am a little bit, but I was not as outgoing as I now am because of college. And, you know, you kind of feel more confident with mm-hmm. yourself. But I would say, especially the language barrier, mm-hmm. very difficult. But in Malden, we had a lot of Colombian people.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of friends, and a lot of friends, still my friends today. But I had two really good friends that would help me translate. Uh-huh. I still hang out with them, you know, once a while. But I would say without those people there, it would have been very, very hard.
Yeah. You know? With you go to Malden and you're getting out of Malden, did you immediately pick USC Upstate, or what was your kind of transition into college?
Yeah, so I would say I feel like as a first generation college student mm-hmm. here, you know, in a whole new different country, I had to learn and I had to do everything myself. You know, I had to start learning what SATs mm-hmm. were, and I had to sign up for them.
It's a lot.
And because English isn't my first language, mm-hmm. I had to study really hard.
Yeah.
Because when I first took the like pre-SAT and then the first SAT, they were words that I had no idea, like dictionary words. And I was like, okay, well, I gotta do this thing. So I would say figuring out how to get into college.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And then myself registering for like college tours and all that stuff. So I wasn't set on a college specifically. I was just like, okay, like wherever I kind of make it, I'll yeah. then make my choices. I did apply for to a couple. I got into like NGU. And then I tried Clemson, did not get in there. But I still, like, money-wise, it was what's realistic, what's sure. not. But USC Upstate offered mm-hmm. me a couple of grants, and they offered me a scholarship, too. So it was like, okay, well, this is going to be $1,000. I mean, yeah.
You figuring that out is very impressive. Yeah.
I would say
there's no chance. I don't know if I could have done that. Like,
yeah, and I feel like doing all the FAFSA stuff, it was like I was my own mom kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't blame my parents because they had no idea what yeah. it is. And it was
all new to them.
It's all new to them. But, you know, applying and doing SATs and my graduation, doing kind of everything and just telling my parents, okay, we're going to go toward this college.
Yeah.
Which should be the other way around, or I think it is the other way around. But, you know, I feel like I'm always challenged, but I always overcome it. Yeah. So with USC, it was I got in right away. The cheapest, they gave me scholarship. It was $1,000 a semester. So we were.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So my parents were able to, you know, pay out of pocket. And thankfully, and thanks to my parents, I graduated debt free from college.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, even those challenges, like, early in your life, they probably set you up for what you're trying to do now, or what you are doing now, opening a business, because we know there's a lot of challenges that come along with that. With the idea, and you keep it around your Colombian heritage and your culture, but when did the idea come about? Like, hey, maybe one day I want to open something that's mine.
I would definitely say this was during college. I worked at a smoothie shop. It's a local smoothie shop here in Greenville, too. And I went into that smoothie shop. It was, you know, I got the job very, I would say coincidence a little bit, but I feel like you're always where you're supposed to be. And my boss then, she took me in and she knew I shared my story and I wanted to have not a juice bar specifically, but an acai shop kind of mm-hmm. thing. But with my own little touch. So when I started working there, it was great. I feel like it was one of the best experiences I've had, something as small as working at a smoothie shop. But that was my college job, and that's mm-hmm. that was in 2018, I believe. So I studied abroad. I went and studied abroad in Spain. And then when I came back in 2018, that's when that's kind of when I started working there, and then it clicked. It kind of, and I was in school for exercise science. So my my goal was physical therapy school. So I wanted to, you know, wanted to be a PT. And
it's a great goal too, though.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to do a PT. I had always wanted to be a PT. And then I did my internship. And it was kind of like, it was too slow for me. And I was, I like movement. I like to be active and I like challenges. And it was great. And then I, you know, figured PT school was really difficult to get in, and then more school. So that's kind of when it clicked. Working at a smoothie shop, I was like, you know, that I would love to have one of these. I didn't think it would happen now. I kind of saw it like a long-term goal, maybe in my 30s and my 40s.
Now when you're 26 and 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, not in my 20s for sure. It seems like a long shot.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have to be risky. And, you know, I'm in my 20s and I don't have any kids. So I really feel like this is the time to risk it. And we all have the power to follow our dreams.
That's right.
Yeah.
But putting that plan into motion, you know, you have to eventually say, like, you wake up one morning and you're like, all right, I've been thinking about this enough. Like, let's see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
When was that?
So I'll tie it in a little bit more of a backstory. But so starting at the smoothie shop in 2018, I worked there for about 3.5 years until I graduated. And then during COVID too.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see a lot of operations, and I was seeing a lot of the internal work, like payroll and dealing with, you know, with a team and dealing with schedules and time offs. And I actually fired someone once, and it was, you know, living and seeing the uncomfortable of what owning a business is. And I really do. I think I really learned how, I think it's easier to be an employee. I really do think it's easier to have an office job. And I actually had an office job after working at a smoothie shop. So after COVID and after I graduated, I needed more money. And obviously working at a smoothie shop wasn't doing it, because my paycheck was probably, it took me probably 3 weeks to be able to pay my rent. So I was in an apartment near Furman. That's kind of like the area where I always lived. And it was a one bedroom, $1,400. So it was like, okay, well,
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I need a new job. Like, okay, I need a new job. So an opportunity landed, and this was in the finance field. Something new, something very unknown to me. I went to school for exercise science. I used to teach yoga. I love the gym. I can tell you how to lift weights. But it was finance. But I took the challenge and, you know, I accepted this position and I learned a ton. It was my last job, actually. Two really good friends opened this firm downtown Greenville. I learned a lot from them. Very thankful for them. We don't speak much now, but I still think about them and I'm very grateful for them. But I was there for about 3 years. They started in March and I came in May. So we basically started everything together. And I was the only employee for a little bit. Got really close to them. I learned a lot about IRAs and the stock market. We got into the stock market a little bit after, about 2 years after. So it was a lot of learning.
Yeah.
A lot of...
Totally.
Oh my gosh. So many numbers. Yeah. So I was in charge of all the onboarding clients and moving money over, and me seeing these accounts over like millions of dollars.
Yes.
People are wealthy. Yeah. So I started getting comfortable with seeing accounts over $1 million, and I moved probably like over 80 million in the 3 years that I was there. So I would just move them from a riskier product to a more conservative product that wouldn't lose any more money.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was working with a lot of companies, and it was, you know, I feel like that's when I developed professionally a lot, because I come from a smoothie shop, and sure, like, you deal with customers and people around you, but now here you're dealing with people's money.
Yeah.
And people's like whole life savings. So I learned a lot more. And I feel like working at a smoothie shop and then working at a finance field, it all comes in. It ties in. So it really...
Business experience is great.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer, and I feel like God really put me at a smoothie shop and then the finance. And it's like, okay, Camila, I'm going to get you fired and you're going to bring a business together. So I did get fired.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of an uncomfortable thing to say.
Sure.
Because, you know, I had never been fired, but it really is part of my story.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's part of what pushed me to come open this business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always knew that was going to be my last job. So at this finance field, you know, great learning experience, great seeing numbers. It was an office job. I was able to work remotely a little bit. But there were things that really ticked me off and things that, you know, my aunt passed last year. So it was a very unexpected death. And
mm-hmm.
it was a Sunday. We flew to Colombia Monday, first thing Monday morning. And then it was 4 days in, and my boss was like, okay, Camila, you come back. It's either your family or your job. So I risked it. I was like, well, I have to stay with my family. We're Catholic, so we have to go through, you know, the 9 days of praying, a lot of culture stuff. And my mom was there, so I was like, I need to stay. But I did fly back alone and left my family. They were all going to hang out, but I had a job that I couldn't lose.
Yeah.
So that really... I feel like I had always known, you know, not that I don't want a boss. I would say that's very mainstream now, like be self-employed kind of thing, because it actually is easier to have a boss.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to have someone tell you, you need to do this. It's so much easier to...
paycheck.
Yeah, you have a paycheck. I mean, that's comfortable. And it's easier to have a 9-to-5. Because, you know, it's 5:15, you're home.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You shut your brain. If someone calls you after 5, you're not picking up the phone.
Yep.
But now it's like, I can't sleep at night because I'm thinking about my business. And, you know, it's midnight and I'm still looking at these plans kind of thing. But that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. And I feel like I wouldn't have it on any other way.
Yeah.
I'm really tired. I can't wait to open my business. But going back to your question, I would say that really is what pushed me. So 3 years in the finance industry, great experience, but I knew that was my last job. Like I mentioned, my last job, what's going to be next?
Yeah.
So I did start working on my business plan, and I did start working on little things while I was still at my 9-to-5, which, I figured that's what got me fired. Yeah. Being transparent, I think it's what got me fired.
With that, though, it takes a lot of risk, you know? What type of fears did you have when you sat there and thought, hey, I'm starting to work on this. It potentially could get me fired, which I totally understand, because I think I've heard and seen others' businesses that kind of get a little hesitant when they hear, like, you know, employees might be doing something else. So what was that fear when you're like, oh, I'm going to start working on this. Eventually I'm going to leave this job or get fired. Yeah. But then I got to take this on.
So I much rather gotten fired just because they were my really good friends from college. She was a sorority sister of mine. And I did not feel capable of giving them a resignation.
Yeah.
That's it. But I knew I had to do it eventually. I was comfortable at the job, and I don't like feeling comfortable somewhere because I don't like being stagnant in my growth. I like to keep growing, keep learning. I learned a lot, and then it was like, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't passionate about finance. I wasn't passionate about the industry. It wasn't, you know, me waking up at 8 a.m. to go look at the stock market.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't me. I like what I learned. Because it was a lot of self-knowledge to be able to invest in stocks and be able to, you know, do a Roth IRA, to be able to do these things while we're young. So I did learn a lot. And it was a lot of holding me back because what are people going to say? This is something small. I'm putting the logo together, putting the name together. And I did put a logo together. It was okay. It was awful. It was a little awful. It was, you know, on Canva.
Sure. You still use Canva.
Yeah, I love Canva, but I put something together. I went on and paid someone to do my branding, but this was when I first started. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, I actually bought a freezer because I knew I wanted to, I wanted to sell bowls to my friends and family. And I actually started that in summer of 22. So I started offering bowls to my friends and family kind of on the low because the So this was in the summer and I was still at the finance firm. And it was, you know, the first weekend we launched, I sold 60 bowls.
Dang.
And, you know, I sold them for 13 a piece. So it was like 600 on a Saturday. And I was like, oh, maybe.
And this was like a pop-up somewhere?
Yeah. No, it was me making them in my house with, you know, I bought a plug-in freezer that you could plug into my car.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually had it in storage for like a year. Because I was like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, it was a lot of browsing in my mind and a lot of limiting beliefs holding me back. And during this time, I was really big in like self-development. So I feel like that played a really big part of where I am now. And it was going to Grant Cardone's business boot camps in Miami, which actually my last job sent me to. And then it was reading a bunch of books, getting introduced to this whole new concept of, you know, think and grow rich and all that stuff, 10X rule.
Yeah.
So many.
I saw you went to the 10X conference.
Yeah. 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 So that was my first intro to like self-development. And then it was being around so many millionaires that I was like, gosh, like, you know, they come from nothing. Why? Like, what's really holding me back?
Rebel Rabbit is on a mission to provide a healthier and smarter way to socialize and drink. Their alcohol-free, cannabis-infused seltzers are perfect for anybody just trying to kick back and relax after a hard day at work or on the golf course with your friends or hanging out at a party and you want to wake up and feel better the next day. Their seltzers are perfect for you. They are a great alternative to alcohol as well. Their website is drinkrebelrabbit.com. Use promo code LIFE20. You'll get 20% off your order. That link is in the show notes. But join the mission and start drinking and socializing smarter with Rebel Rabbit Seltzers.
So I started selling these bowls out of my house and they started selling really well. And then I was like, okay, what's next? Because I'm always like, okay, what's next? I can't do this because, you know, it's not legal. You know,
you have to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, do I go and apply for my cottage license? Which when you applied for the cottage license, you can actually sell food out of your house. But then I was like, no, like I'm not playing small. But I didn't think about having a commercial or a brick and mortar. And then that was in June when I started July, you know, hey, Camila, we got to talk. So, yeah, I started this was June, July. I was trying to buy a house and I got fired.
Yeah, out of a glut amount.
Yeah. So,
but that door opens, you know, and now you have more time to do what you were wanting to do.
Yeah. So, you know, Camila, we got to talk. I feel like your heart is somewhere else. And I was like,
yeah,
it is. And, you know, cried a little bit emotions. I feel like I'm very tuned with my emotions. Took the day off, watched Netflix, chilled. I think I got Chick-fil-A off the way home. And that's it. You know, it was. This was a Wednesday, and then on Thursday, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I had enough savings to kind of chill for a little bit, so I chilled for a month. Because I was really burned out. Chilled for a month, but I was looking at things online. And then August came, and I signed up for a 10-week course on how to build your business plan. And that's when everything started. I think that's really...
Were you still, though, selling your bowls out of your house?
I was. Yeah, because I had no income.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, it's still great, like, subsidized income in between two jobs.
Yeah. So I got fired in July, and then, you know, it was still hot. People were wanting my bowls, and I actually had people order a bunch of bowls, and I had a friend who ordered, like, 20 bowls. Her husband loves them, and he, like, put them in the freezer and had them for the week.
Nice.
So, of course, like I needed money, my bills needed to be paid, but what was next, you know? So I started doing my research, started with this course. And then the course started in August and it ended in November. And then during this time, I was kind of browsing for commercial properties.
I was about to say, were you thinking more of pop-up, like food truck, or like right into brick and mortar?
So I did think about a food truck, and I actually had a food truck application in my car for a couple months. But it didn't fully, I wasn't fully into it because it's a car. So I like the idea, and I like the idea of being able to move to places, but I don't think it was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I wanted something more. So I started browsing at commercial properties. Myself. Yeah, just kind of looking. And I had a really good friend who's into real estate, into commercial real estate. And I had actually, I closed on my house in August.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. So closed on this house. Very worried because I had gotten fired, but we made it happen. I feel like I always make things happen. Very persistent. I feel like you always have to be persistent with everything.
But, and that's a good trait. Persistent.
And so that started the course, started browsing a little bit. So I had a friend who was in commercial real estate, asked him a couple of questions. He was like, hey, well, you can get a broker. And they don't charge you because the landlord or the property owner will pay them, pay their commission. But I wasn't ready. I felt like I wasn't ready. I was like, why am I going to waste their time if I'm not looking to lease something right now? But as time went by, on a Sunday, my boyfriend and I were driving off Park Avenue in North Main.
Mm-hmm.
We were taking some bowls, actually, to his friend's house. And we were at a stoplight. And then I looked to my right, and there's the property. I looked to my right, and it said, for rent. And then, kind of ignored it, but it was still in my head. Got home, browsed the address. I dropped the pin on my phone.
Nice.
And then browsed the address, and I drove by probably 5 times.
Free park out.
Yeah, three park. Drove by, and then the last time I went with my dad. And I had looked at a lot of properties. I looked on the West End. I looked in Simpsonville. I looked on Woodruff Road. Insanely expensive. Woodruff Road is more expensive than down.
Really?
Yeah. And I went with my dad, and I was like, hey, Dad, check this out. This is a cool spot. What do you think? And he was like, have you called? And I was like, no. Oh, no. Why should I call? I need money. So he was like, oh my gosh, call. So I called right then. And she was like, hey, I'm upstairs. I'll be right down.
Oh, nice.
We saw the property, and I was like.
Was it built out for what you were wanting?
Almost.
Yeah. I know, saw you did some construct or like build out of the inside.
Yeah. So it was almost. But I was very very unexperienced.
Mm-hmm. As most people would be.
And, this is our, the first business that we've ever had in the family here in the States. So it was, I didn't have anyone to kind of go to. I did message some of my friends. I messaged Jorge from Papi's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I asked him a couple questions, and he's always, very helpful. And
I love their new spot, too.
Yes. And we go way back. When I used to work at the smoothie shop, they, we met and all that stuff. But I message people. I feel like, and I message the Hosses that I used to babysit for, kind of asked her a little bit of what she had to do at the boutique. But it's so different
because
it's a restaurant. So it wasn't built out, but it had a lot of potential. I saw it didn't have a kitchen, of course, because it was a spa before.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have a kitchen, but it had the back room to make it a kitchen. But I didn't know we could make it into what I wanted. So I was a little bummed. I was like, let me think about it. Went back the next day, took measurements. I drew everything out and kind of what I wanted. Because honestly, I couldn't afford an interior designer.
Yeah,
I couldn't really. Because that would have been thousands of dollars. So I was like, okay, I got to do this. Here's my Pinterest board that I'm going to be on. And I knew I had to put it all together. And hopefully for my next job, I can, hire an interior designer. but took measurements. This was on a Friday. And I had to give her an answer. I was like, okay, let me think about it over the weekend. You know, she asked for the deposit, blah, blah. She had a couple people lined up. So on Monday, I was like, you know what? I'm taking this place.
Nice.
Yeah, taking this place.
Did she, were you able to get, and I don't know how this always works, but yeah. were they able to help you with the build out?
Financially?
Yeah, like financially. Like they'll give you sometimes like a budget or like some type of.
No, I did get 2 months.
Okay.
Free rent though.
Nice.
So like the first 2 months, it was kind of, you know, take these 2 months to remodel, do mm-hmm. whatever you need to, which it wasn't. And my dad actually did everything inside.
Nice.
So that was very helpful. He did everything from the bar to the paint. The floor was set. The floor, we didn't do anything to it. The kitchen was the only thing we had to do was plumbing. And that's kind of, that was probably besides our espresso machine, because that was a lot of money. the plumbing was very yeah. expensive.
Because you're going to have Colombian coffee in there.
Yes. So the concept of Uji is to honor Colombia and Brazil.
All right.
So our main focus will be açaí, which comes from Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Traditional Brazilian.
Yeah. Açaí. Yeah. I feel like the raw, you know, unsweetened kind.
My wife will love that.
So we'll have different bases. We make the granola. I make the granola in-house. I played around with a lot of recipes. Still playing around with a couple more to be able to give options. But our main focus will be açaí. It will be the bowls. We got handmade dishes shipped from Colombia. And you kind of live and learn through business.
Mm-hmm.
That was very unnecessary.
Yeah.
So it was very expensive. Yeah. And then when they came in, they were very small. The DHL came to my house. They knocked. And I was so excited. Two big boxes. They were like 100 and something pounds. Just a lot of money.
A lot of shit. Yeah.
I was very excited. And I opened these bowls and they were tiny. I'm like, I cannot, and I cried, right? I could not sell a bowl out of this tiny thing. I'm going to use them. I'm going to make kid sizes.
There you go.
And then I was browsing around Hobby Lobby, and I found the bowls that I wanted.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
How have you developed the menu?
So, you know, I did it all.
Actually, first question.
Yeah.
How important was it for you to keep your Colombian roots in this business?
Oof, I would say 100%. You know, when I always knew I wanted the açaí shop, I love making bowls. I feel like being in the kitchen is my love language. I love cooking for people that come over. I love cooking from scratch. And I knew I wanted the bowls. I wanted the bowls. I wanted that to be our focus. But I knew we had to complement it with something. So where I used to work, a lot of people would come in and ask, hey, do you guys have coffee?
Yeah.
And I would always say, you know, bring me a coffee maker. I'll make coffee. But I knew that was the missing gap.
Mm-hmm.
So during the time doing my business plan, you know, I came up with our mission, our goals, our values, our target market.
Yeah.
Our
class.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. No, our buyer persona, which, you know, my buyer persona, it's pretty much myself, because it's a someone my age, it's a female kind of thing. It's, you know, it's very in detail, but I feel like you have to narrow it down to the teeth. So I knew we wanted to do coffee together because, you know, we have seasons. And in the winter, a lot of people do like bowls and ice cream. I love eating ice cream during the winter, but
I love bowls anytime.
Yeah, but I also feel like, you know, it's cold and people want to warm up, and
yeah.
Coffee is, I love coffee.
It's a great compliment.
It's
and like, I know, I guess the espresso machine was, you know, probably pretty expensive and stuff. But I've always thought, like, if you can just add coffee to whatever you're doing, like, it's, I mean, everybody would ask for a cup of coffee or a double espresso or whatever it might be.
So I always, I wanted to do coffee. And I knew some about coffee. But when I started working with Methodical Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
They're great people. I love Methodical. When I walked into their warehouse, I was meeting with Jennings there. He's the wholesale rep. And, you know, I walked in and I was like, hey, Jennings, I have never touched an espresso machine. I have never cupped coffee. You know how, I'm not sure if you've seen, but people do like cupping and basically tasting the notes of coffee. All I know is drink coffee, order coffee, brew coffee up. Yeah. And I had an espresso, so it was, you know, me and the capsules.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I still use.
Yeah. And sometimes I would do like a French press and yep. felt like a little more.
You know? I like French press.
Yeah. But I walked in there. That was in October because it was, you know, sign the lease. It's game on. Like, I need to open as soon as I can. My plan was to open in January, and we can kind of go into that in a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, it's April and I still have not opened. But, you know, talk with Methodical. We met a couple of times. They're great. We cup coffee. And then in December, I also met with Andres from Unlock Coffee. Really great coffee, too.
Yeah.
Great guy.
We love going over there.
Yeah. Unlock has a really good location. He's Colombian, too.
Yeah.
So when we meet, we, you know, talk in Spanish. And it feels like home. So I really do love supporting someone that is from Colombia, someone a little bit smaller. So I'm actually going to be working with both Methodical
nice.
And Unlocked. It was really hard to pick one. And I told Bold, I was like, you know, I can't pick one. So we're going to do...
nice.
And ever since I met with Methodical, I always knew I want a Colombian bean. Because it didn't make sense for me to honor Colombia and having Costa Rican beans, you know. Mm-hmm. I may do some Brazil too, because, you know, Colombia and Brazil. But from day one, we knew it was going to be Colombian beans. And so we're working with Methodical and Unlocked, and we're going to do Methodical on espresso and then Unlocked on drip. And
nice.
Yeah.
We love the Panda Bonas Andreas has at Unlocked. And sometimes he'll put an egg on it.
Yeah.
Which.
Like a bagel with a panda bona thing. Yeah. They have really good crepes too.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great guy. So that kind of started my coffee knowledge. Now we're into, you know, we make coffee on an AeroPress at home. We cup sometimes, and we've cupped a couple times now with Jennings and Bridge City Coffee, Color Collective from Texas.
Nice.
So we've been to a couple of cuppings. But my first cupping, I was like, okay, what
are we doing?
And then I would see Jennings like getting the spoon. I was like, okay. But, you know, it's fun. And
yeah.
I feel like in a couple of years, I'm going to look back and...
You're going to know everything. Engineered Sleep makes the best mattresses out there. Sleep is the number one thing you can focus on right now to better your performance on a daily basis. And you might as well be sleeping on an Engineered Sleep mattress. Like I said, their products are the best and their customer service is second to none. Their website is engineeredsleep.com. If you use promo code LIVE15, you'll get 15% off your order. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new mattress, reach out to the team at Engineered Sleep and they'll hook you up. Again, their website is engineeredsleep.com. Use promo code LIVE15 to get 15% off your order. With the pairing of coffee and bowls, you still got to develop your bowl menu, you know? Like, for you, were there like a few things you knew you had to have on the menu? And then how did you develop the rest?
Yeah, so I would say, so I do have a little bit of background in nutrition. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of nutrition classes that we had to do. So I would say when I was looking at the menu, when I sat down, and I think this was in November, I was like, okay, I need to sit down because someone is going to brand my brand. You know, they're going to do the branding. They're going to do color schemes, and they're going to do fonts, and they're going to do all the cool stuff that I really, I'm not creative at all. You know, I put a black and white logo together, but when this girl, and this was someone from Colombia, when she put this like orange logo, Uki Bowls, I was like, I could have never done that. So I would say when I sat down in November, I was like, okay, what do I want this menu to be? I knew I wanted it to be very transparent with ingredients. I knew I wanted to offer the best quality, the best size as well. You know, I'm going to sell a $13 bowl. I'm not going to put two little strawberries on it. Like, I'm going to pack this bowl because if I were paying $13 bowls, I want a really, really good bowl. So that was kind of my idea. And looking through reviews of, I would say, my competition. Mm-hmm. Competition is great. There's the man. Yeah. But I would say we really don't have direct competition. So looking through reviews and looking at everything, I kind of put all together what we need to fill, what gaps are we missing, mm-hmm. How do we need to do our customer service? And we train so we have a team now. We have 5 girls, trained them all a couple weeks ago, and it's customer service. Nice. And portion sizes. So when it comes to the menu, it was me sitting down, making it as simple as we can, because a lot of people don't know what acai is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, it's like, what's acai? What's acai? Kind of thing. Because it's from another country. So making it as simple as we can, giving as little options as we can. When you walk into a place and they have 20 options of bowls, you don't know what to pick. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to feel pressured and pick something.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to do like our signature bowls. So I have one of each flavor. So we have an acai, a coconut, a mango base, and a pitaya base. So I put 4 or one of each on those, and then I have make your own bowl.
Nice.
Because, you know, you may not like shredded coconut, so just make your own bowl. Same fries, same options. So you do get 3 fruits, the granola and the shredded coconut, the drizzle that you like. I love almond butter. But, you know, I hate peanut butter, but I have to offer peanut butter.
Sure.
People love peanut butter. So
one's healthier than the other, too.
So I really do feel like it was, when it came to the menu, it was the most simple that I could make it for people to, and I know a lot of people that love acai are going to come, but I also want to target the people that don't know what acai is. So giving those 4 options, make your own bowl, and then we will have a couple of food options. So I'm excited.
What are the food options?
So we are... we're going to do avocado toast,
nice.
And we're going to do, so we'll have different breads, but we are working with this guy from Grain Man. He makes his own sourdough in Lawrence.
Oh, nice.
He has a farm. He lives out there. We met at a pop-up at Other Lands, but he has phenomenal bread. I love sourdough.
I do too.
Yeah.
My wife makes him sourdough.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've always wanted to try, but the starter to make sourdough, that thing is crazy.
Yeah. It took her a while.
It looked very intimidating. So, you know, I feel like, I feel like another thing of business is delegating and knowing when you can't do it yourself. You know, I could try to make sourdough, but I don't have time for it.
Yeah. With you did mention, you said, man, well, I really wish I wanted to open in January. Yeah. And like you said, it's April. And we know opening a business is difficult. Being an entrepreneur is difficult. All these challenges come along the way. But like you said, you're resilient and you figure out how to make things happen. But sometimes when you're dealing with the city, it's not in your hands.
Not.
So right now, you're kind of waiting on some permits, right? Like, walk me through what has been the holdup now. And then, you know, hopefully once you get approved, or what are you waiting on to get approved so you can open your doors?
Yeah. I feel like I can, you know, finally talk about this because... it has been, I think this season of my life has been the most challenging. It's, you know, thinking about throwing in the towel multiple times a day. But knowing deep down, I'm not going to throw in the towel. Yeah, you know, we're humans, you know. I've had to take a day in the past few months to just sleep it off. I love going to the gym, and I had to put that off for a couple of weeks. But now it's like, okay, I'm back to running because I can't. My hands are crossed. Mm-hmm. You know, we're ready. The shop is ready. The girls are ready. But the city is not ready. You know, and everyone at the city has been very, very nice. But you have to go by the book.
Yeah.
And there's codes. And I would say, so, yes, I wanted to open in January. I wanted to start soft opening December because I thought it was going to happen fast. My biggest... I'm not going to say mistake, but my biggest learning experience from that is go to the city first thing before you even sign a lease. Mm-hmm. Go to the city, see what the property has to be, what has to be done at the property before you even sign a lease.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have a lease. And then you find out what the property needs and you're like,
oh man,
what did I do? Yeah. So the thing holding me up is, when a new business moves into a new property, a change of use applies. So pretty much bringing it up to code. So the code changes every year. In this property, the last time it was brought up to code was in the 90s, because this salon or this spa had been there for so many years. And I think they had a marketing agency in there before myself, but they never got a business license kind of thing. They didn't have to do any of that because it was just used for office space. So once I go to apply for my business license, they're like, no, hold on, not that fast. You have to do this, 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 and that. But it was things like the ADA parking, so the handicap parking, and then the sidewalk. There were two entries. So if someone's coming in through the first entry and someone's walking into the shop, they're going to get hit. So it makes sense why they need to close that curb cut. But the landlord was a little, you know, hesitant in trying to find a way around it. There's no way around it. I learned that there are no shortcuts at all. So they gave me this list, you know, hired a concrete contractor, fired the concrete contractor. And that has been, you know, the most challenging, because I'm not confrontational. But you have to learn that in business, you have to, you know, stick up. We paid this guy and we had to get a refund. He submitted the permits to the city to be able to fix this curb cut. And they were supposed to go to DOT. And I had told this guy, you know, they go to DOT, blah, blah. You know, we hired the guy. He was charging a pretty big sum of money. So we thought he knew what he was doing, you know, kind of let go of the control. I think as a female and with my personality, the hardest thing is to let go of control. But, you know, paid this guy, professional, has his company, he has it handled. But I would go in the city where there's a website where you look at the permits. I would go in there multiple times a day and I would refresh.
And they weren't in.
They were in there, but they were not supposed to be in there. They were supposed to be at DOT.
Department of Transportation.
Yeah, of Transportation, because the state owns the sidewalk. You know, 7 weeks went by, because that was the turnaround time. 7 weeks went by and they were like, nope, they're not supposed to be here. They're supposed to be at DOT. Oh, yeah. I was kind of shaking when this happened.
I'm sure.
Yeah. You know.
Bad, frustrating.
Frustrating, because that was the only thing holding us back. So, you know, set up a meeting with the landlord and this guy, because she's paying for the sidewalk. So thankfully, we don't have to pay for that. So set up a meeting. My landlord, I feel like she's very fond of me now. She's a female. She's great. I feel like she loves me. And she went off on this guy. You know, we hired the guy, got a refund. But now it's like, okay, starting over. So I'm waiting on the city to, again, they've been very helpful. And they all try to help you, but
still by the,
yeah, you know, they can't make an exception for Okie Boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're almost there with the city on what we're needing. We'll have our sign permit this week, which we'll put the sign up. And then the last few things is getting the bike rack installed. They'll have to inspect it. As soon as I'm done with the city, which we're about 2-3 weeks out, but we also still have to wait for DOT. I'm going to go to the city and, you know, kind of explain. And hopefully they'll let me open without the curb getting done, because it'll be processing.
Yep.
You know, we'll be waiting on the permit.
With DOT, do they already have the information or do you have to wait till it's done?
No, DOT already. So it's in process.
All right, cool.
But they have a turnaround time of 30 business days.
30?
30 business days. Yeah.
I've dealt with permits a little bit. And I feel like they tell you, oh, we have, I think a lot, some were out of mine were like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And every time it'd be like the last day when they would get it done. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Which they do have their hands full. And I understand.
Especially in Greenville.
Yeah. I feel like they need to expand and hire more people. But again, they're very hopeful. It sucks that I had a really bad contractor. And he just ghosted me. I mean, he still has a check that I gave him, ghosted me, but I'm not, it was $300 check, whatever. You live and you learn.
Yeah. With your hope of what people feel, or like your hope of you people's, what is your hope? Like when people walk in, like the community around it.
So I'm very fond of connecting with people, and I'm very fond of the Greenville community. I hope when people walk into Uki that they feel at home, that they feel welcome. And even if you're not the fittest person, because we are very focused on health, and we want to offer the best and the cleanest ingredients that we can, the best customer service. But I want everyone to feel welcome. I feel like that's, if I were to pick one word, it's welcome. I want everyone to feel welcome, whether you are a marathon runner or whether you're on a journey to weight loss. I just want people to feel like you belong in this place.
And enjoy some delicious products with your ingredients, because I do think this is overlooked sometimes, because I think some bowls aren't always the healthiest just because of the ingredients. And it sounds like that's been a big focus for you. Why did you realize that should be like a big focus for you?
So I would say going back to the industry that I love, which is health and wellness, going back to when I studied nutrition, I'm very, and at home too, we are very holistic based, kind of never going to the doctor and, getting blood work every once in a while. I actually went to the doctor's a couple weeks back because I was like, okay, I'm going to start working. I won't have time. Let's get some blood work. They were like, no, come back after your 40s. I was like, okay, this is why I'm going
Interesting.
to,
Man, why would
this
you
is
do
why
that?
I'm
I'm
going to
trying
the
to get my
doctor.
blood work.
Yeah. But it's a lot of, we love going to the chiropractic and all the holistic stuff. So a lot of essential oils. And I am the girl at Costco reading the nutrition label.
You're like my wife.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Every in
Well, she makes sourdough, so I'm sure like we'll get along. But read the labels. We have so many diseases in the United States, high blood pressure and diabetes, and people even in their 40s, people as young as our age, they have high blood pressure. So, and we tie, I know a big chunk of it is stress, but a big chunk of it is what do we eat?
What you put
Eating
into your body, yeah.
exactly. And it reflects on your skin, it reflects on your mood, on your attitude. It like tell me what you eat and I'll I tell you.
How
But
you feel. And I think a lot of people don't realize how bad they feel because they just eat bad all the time.
yeah.
It's like, sadly, what they feel every day.
Exactly. And I'm not saying I eat perfect all the time because sure I do love going to Sacha's sometimes. But
Love Sacha's.
yeah, so good. And I have my burger every once in a while and some fries. I'll have a Coke sometimes, but it's the daily habits that actually build up. So I would say it was really important for me. I would say my values and my morals, like I'm not gonna offer anything with like hidden sugars or anything like that. So I think that really is very important for myself, because I would feel like I'm lying to people. I'm like, call this healthy, but it's really not. The only thing that I'm very borderline with is whether or not we will offer Nutella. So I'm still on the line. It's on the menu for now.
Because it is so good and people would probably order it,
Yeah.
but
And kids, but I want to be able to, do the raw acai. I would love to go down to Brazil in a couple of years and like,
so like the
learn
real
and see.
authentic.
Yeah. But the acai, the coconut, all of our smoothies. So going back to the menu, we will have the bowls are our main focus, but we do have 10 smoothies on the menu. Everything's plant-based, almond milk, frozen fruits, and then we'll do sweeteners like raw honey or agave or maple syrup. And I'm actually trying some from a local farm, some maple syrup. And things like that, or like chia seeds or spirulina, things like that. But it's not like sugars or any dyes. I feel like dyes, I mean, if you look into research, dyes are linked to cancer. So that's, you know, that's my biggest thing. But yeah, Nutella's on the menu right now. I'm trying to find like a raw hazelnut. But, you know, you have to think about whether or not it makes sense.
Yeah.
Both financially.
I was saying the cost and stuff. Are you still doing any yoga?
So I love hot yoga. I'm not teaching. I used to teach in college. So that was kind of my little part-time in college to help me pay my bills. I love going to hot yoga. I haven't been in a minute, but I love yoga. I think it's really helpful. Also with my back. I feel like it's just really good to stretch everything out.
Without a doubt. Well, thank you for joining me. I loved hearing your story.
Yeah.
I can't wait for y'all to open.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in 6 months or whenever.
Hopefully, yes. I really do think, realistically speaking, probably May, I think, you know.
And for anybody that hasn't tried a bowl or might be interested in your shop, like, what would you tell them just to come on in?
Yeah, I mean, I love trying new things, and don't let the unknown keep you from tasting something really good. But I also, I'm more than happy to have people walk in and, hey, I haven't tried this. So a lot of times I just sample things out, you know, give them a little cup and try it, because, you know, you're paying $13 for a bowl and you don't like it, you know, it doesn't make sense. So feel free to like come in, ask me for a spoonful of acai or coconut, and I'll let you try it. I mean,
there's very few people that wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I think so. It's healthy too.
Delicious.
You don't feel bloated after. It's not like ice cream and you're going to feel bloated or maybe run to the bathroom because it's got dairy. But for sure, and you know, we are trying to have things on the menu for everyone, from, you know, $5 latte, or, you know, we'll do some avocado toast. They're not going to be $5, but we have anything from $5 to $10, $13. So I want to make sure we cover everyone around us.
Yeah.
We have a pickleball court right across the street. So we have a pretty good crowd.
And you're going to have coffee, which is great.
Yeah, we'll have some cool stuff with coffee. We'll be posting some pictures in the next 2 weeks of what's coming. But we are very excited and we are thankful that we were here today.
Camila, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for listening. Give our partners some love by visiting their links in the show notes. Spink's Convenience Stores, you can find the location nearest you. Rebel Rabbit Seltzers, they're on a mission to socialize healthier and smarter, so join the mission. And Engineered Sleep, making the best mattresses in the game. You might as well be sleeping on an Engineered Sleep mattress. For me, if you could give our show a 5-star rating on your listening platform, that'd be greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for listening.